Good evening. It's 5:30 on Tuesday, August 21st already, and I'm calling to order the meeting of the Planning Commission. Let's go ahead and start with our introductions. I wouldn't even say far left, just a few seats down to my left.
Jim Swenson, South Kitsap.
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
Richard Shattuck, Central Kitsap.
Care Ann Gonzalez Harless, South Kitsap.
And Gina Busker from Central Kitsap. The first item of business on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda. We received that via email and then a hard copy today. Everybody's had an opportunity to review it. Do we have a motion?
I move we adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor? And it's unanimous. The next item is the approval of the minutes. We have not received the formal copy of the minutes, so I'm going to ask that we just postpone the approval of the minutes to our next meeting. And those were the minutes for July 31st, 2018. I don't think we need a motion for that, do we? All right. And then on to the crux of this evening, which are deliberations on the 2018 Annual Comprehensive Plan Amendment. We have Jim Bolger present. We have, I think, just some housekeeping matters. We have a lot of items on the agenda. Mm-hmm. The record with only five members here for deliberations. We spoke, you know, just I briefly spoke with my vice chair. This does mean in order for us to take action that it would have to be unanimous among the five members that are present. Since we do have a few people absent, I think we have one seat that's open or vacant right mm-hmm. now. What the thought is if there's anything in particular that we feel that the missing members really wanted to speak to or that we really felt was perhaps a bit more controversial, we may table those mm-hmm. To consider them at our next meeting when we have more members present. It's just a vacation time of year, and I know that you all have deadlines. And then I know there are a couple of items that we will be tabling until the next meeting as well. That's what I was advised of. So for the rest of the commission, the George's Corner Lambert boundary adjustment is going to be readdressed at our September 4th meeting. There's going to be some additional materials provided to us. And the Hanley Property LLC, that's identified as CPA 18-00528, that item will be considered or up for deliberation as well on September 4th. So we can have some additional information provided to us so we can do full and fair deliberations on that. And then it also looks like September 8th. Is that something different, the September 18th Euland Tree Farm in Culbertson?
No, that's a planned meeting for the Planning Commission to continue deliberations. So we anticipate that we'll be taking those two amendments under consideration on that date at this time. The caveat I would add is that we finish early and there's interest in the Planning Commission to push forward with any of these amendments, certainly that's something that we can try and work through, assuming that we have adequate information or aren't waiting on anything in particular. As you may have noticed, we've had some staff that aren't here that typically would be here, and that's due to a family emergency unexpected, making it a family emergency. And so Peter Best is not with us tonight, but we'll endeavor to kind of provide information from the Long Range Planning Group, which has been working collaboratively with Peter on a lot of these amendments. So we believe we have enough expertise in the room to be able to answer most of the clarifying questions that the Planning Commission may have during tonight's deliberations. I would just add for the record, I'm Jim Bolger, Assistant Director for Department of Community Development. As far as tonight's deliberation, as mentioned, we have three evenings scheduled for deliberation because of the absences. And as a reminder, in some of the summary for tonight's meeting, I just want to remind the Commission that because these are comprehensive plan related issues before you, we require that we have a majority of the entire Planning Commission in order for an amendment to be adopted. So for tonight, it would take a unanimous vote of those members present for that amendment to move forward. The one thing that I do want to mention is that we have made a couple of changes. One of those changes is that the department is withdrawing one of the elements in amendment number six, that talks about the minimum density calculations based on net developable acres, and maximum density shall be calculated on gross acreage. This is in response to some of the public comment that we received that indicated that our attempt at providing some clarifying language didn't necessarily add clarity to those elements. And so that needs to go back for reconsideration by the department at a subsequent time. Also associated with that, there is some pending litigation that is ongoing with that particular consideration as far as how the county determines minimum and maximum densities. And so we felt it would be prudent to wait for that litigation to conclude before we move forward with any amendments at this time.
And are you talking about, I'm looking at our table of contents, our binder, so you're talking about the clarifying edits?
The clarifying edits associated with the amendment, I don't know the number, tab 8 in your document, that also proposes to provide some additional kind of edits to correct links in the comprehensive plan that are no longer valid links, and correct some typos and some more kind of editorial type edits that don't change the intent. So for tonight, what we also have is some of the agency representatives or department representatives who have contributed to the department in the development of some of these amendments related to materials that they support or basically manage in their respective departments. And so one suggestion I wanted to make was perhaps we cover those amendments early so that we can free those folks up to go home and get out of the smoke and the heat that we have in this room right now.
Correct. Yes,
it's pretty warm.
Everyone here, the air conditioner, I think they called it the chiller, is broken. It won't be fixed until Wednesday. So we do apologize for how warm it is. Feel free to.
I did not know that. I thought I was just running around this place a lot this afternoon and getting overheated. Just to remind the Planning Commission that kind of oftentimes when we deal with these kinds of issues, usually just, and this is more procedural, that there's an overarching a motion that's made for adoption. Typically that motion is made to adopt the recommendations of the department, and that's seconded. And then at that point, when you move into discussion, that would be when you'd walk through the individual amendments that you want to consider, make any amendments. After you've gone through all of those individual amendments, you would amend that opening motion to adopt as amended by the actions that the commission takes over the course of the deliberations. So I'm going to turn it over back to the chair. We do have staff that are here to answer questions as the Planning Commission deliberates on its slate of amendments today. Also, as I mentioned, the staff from the other departments to help you out. And so I'll turn it back over to you unless there are other kind of procedural questions that I can help with.
Well, I guess, can you identify, you indicated maybe take some out of order so that some individuals are able to.
Sure. So as we look at the list of amendments, and if I could get staff to maybe help me identify which tabs these are. We have the non-motorized facilities plan update as one of your amendments. And do you know what tab that is?
Tab 2.
We also have the affordable housing policy review and have a representative from our Kitsap County Department of Human Services Community Development Block Grant Program who helped us with that amendment. And those are the two for which we have representatives here tonight to help out. So if we could make sure we get to those early, that would be appreciated.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I think we should go ahead and get started on those two first. So that we can get the staff that's already been here all day out of here. You get to stay with us, but everybody else. Looking at number 2 under tab 2. That's the non-motorized facilities plan update. On tab 2, it contains the county-sponsored amendment. The recommendation of that is to adopt as proposed. We've had the written recommendation or staff recommendation for quite some time now. Does anybody have a motion to open discussion on that?
I would move that we adopt the staff recommendation on the non-motorized plan as presented by staff.
Second.
Yes,
Madam Chair, a point of order. If we could maybe start with an initial motion for all of the amendments, and then we can start working through the individual ones. So
just move to adopt all of the staff recommendations?
That's typically how we would do one of these kind of legislative processes, is make a motion to adopt all of the staff recommendations for the full docket, and then you would walk through the individual ones and amend those if you choose to from the staff recommendation, and then you would go back to that open motion for the omnibus adoption.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So, Mr. Shattuck, would you mind, or would you be interested in making a motion for adoption of the entire docket?
I move that we adopt the docket as presented by staff.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for adoption of the entire docket and recommendations as set forth by staff. All those in favor?
Discussion prior
discussion?
To?
Now we discuss.
Okay.
No.
Now go back to number two. Thank you. Looking at number two, the county-sponsored amendment for the non-motorized facilities plan. We can just open for discussion now. A motion for discussion on this.
Madam Chair, I don't believe there will be any amendments proposed to this, so I would bring a motion presently to adopt the non-motorized facilities portion of the document as presented by staff.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for adoption of this particular motion, the non-motorized facilities plan. All those in favor? That's unanimous. All right. I think someone gets to go home. All right, looking at number seven, tab number seven, affordable housing policy review. And we've received the staff report and recommendation, the county-sponsored amendment on affordable housing. Is there any discussion on
I would just ask for staff clarification. I know I asked last time, but just speaking in this context as to who the author is of the CEPA reports that are determining non-significance in a situation like that.
That was prepared by Kirsten Jewell, who is representing Health and Human Services, and she is here this evening if you do have specific questions regarding that. Is there a specific question that you had regarding the CEPA checklist?
No, my original question a number of weeks ago was more just in general. Most of these have a reference to a CEPA checklist.
Yes.
And it was just a thought process of, you know, is that an arm's length thing that the person authoring the CEPA checklist does not have any sort of special interest in the outcome? But I guess either way, it's being reviewed by staff after the fact. It's just who authored it for the submittal.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So the checklist is typically initially prepared by the applicants, and then that comes to the county because it's basically a county government decision that's being made. And so we have our CEPA official for the department is Scott Diener, who's the manager of our development services and engineering. And then we have Steve Heacock, one of our staff planners, who is the CEPA coordinator. So he typically will then review each checklist that's submitted for each of these amendments. And based on the responses that we get from the applicant, We'll either ask for additional information or we'll go out and seek information ourselves to verify the checklist before we sign off. So there may be some SEPA checklists in your packet with the amendments that will actually have, typically in red font, additional information that was provided by the department in completing that checklist and making the determination.
And I understood it professionally. I just felt like it was smart in context to make that explanation a part of this process. So thank you.
I just had a clarifying question for staff. So we've got, as I understand this amendment, it really is nothing of substance whatsoever. It does as it takes and requires or pushes for an inventory of affordable housing and an associated transportation analysis. That's what's my review, the primary focus of the amendment.
Good evening. I'm Shannon Ballman, and I'm from the Department of Human Services, and I work in the Community Development Block Grant Program. And yes, you're correct. It essentially would be an inventory for use countywide. We've been in discussions with staff from DCD, and we all agree that we want to include all of the cities as part of the effort. We think that it's important to get a really comprehensive inventory in Kitsap County of affordable housing. We all know that it's a big issue right now. And one of the things that drove it originally was staff from our office provided input during the comprehensive plan housing element piece. And one of the things that we felt like was we needed more data and analysis of that data to support those strategies that are in the comprehensive plan.
Dave Ward with the Department of Community Development. One thing that I would add to that is that while affordable housing is recognized as a broad challenge for not only our community but many communities across the country, putting a finger on how many people, where are they, what bracket of income do they fall in, and how does that affect their housing choices, those are all the kinds of questions that both departments collaboratively are starting to look at.
I would move the adoption of the affordable housing portion of the document as presented by staff.
It's been moved. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Mr. Spencer has seconded. All those in favor of adoption of the affordable housing proposal or plan? That's unanimous. All right. Now we have a second person that gets to go home for the evening. Thank you so much for staying here addressing this with us. I think the next item, I'm going back in order to everybody. We'll skip the ones that are being tabled to September 4th. Back in order would be the Kingston Urban Village Center Zone. That is number 3 in our binder. And then we also received via email and hard copy a matrix that included some comments as well. I think everybody received that as well. Are there any comments or discussion? I'll let everybody kind of find their place here, but any comments or discussion on this staff or county sponsored amendment?
If there turns out to be no discussion, I would move to accept as proposed for the adoption of the Kingston Urban Village Center section of our docket this evening.
I would second.
It has been moved and seconded. All those in favor of adopting the recommendations regarding the Kingston Urban Village Center Zone Review. Those in favor, please raise your hand. That's 5. Unanimous.
present.
Madam Chair, would it be helpful if staff provided kind of a high-level overview of each of the amendments as you call them up, and we can call out any of the kind of characterize the nature of the public comment that was received? Would that be helpful? Absolutely. While you're flipping through your tabs?
Correct. I just had to remove that the comments were all the way in the back and the amendment was in the front, so I just had to kind of reorganize
so
there.
So would that, if the commission would find that useful, we're happy to provide that. I think that might help also people that are here and they're
and listening to the recording. Yeah, I think it has value.
Great.
Even as the recorded document.
Okay. So I'll leave it to staff.
All right. Since we've tabled George's Corner, Lamarid, the next is the public facility designations and park classifications update. That is number 5 in the binder.
So the just as an overview, the proposed amendment related to public facilities designations and parks has to do with the recent acquisition that Kitsap County did up north in the northern region of the county for the Fort Gamble Heritage Park. So this amendment would essentially redesignate the zoning and land use of those parcels from rural wooded, rural protection, and rural residential to public facilities, and then the underlying zoning would be parks for that acquisition. So this is really just a housekeeping item to keep up with acquisitions that the county has done since the last comp plan amendment.
Is there any discussion on this particular amendment?
And I should note that we did not receive any public comment regarding this amendment.
Thank you. I was just looking for that. I didn't see. All right. We have a motion.
I would move that we, in reference to tab 5 of our docket, accept as proposed the public facility designations and park classifications update.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded. All those in favor of adopting this amendment as proposed? 5, that passes. The next item on our list is Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan Update. That is number 6. In our the tab number 6 in our binder. To staff, if you have an overview.
Sure. I should say for the record, my name is Liz Williams. I'm a planner with the Department of Community Development. Amendment related to the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space item is really just an update. It's a follow-on activity. The Parks Department did do a complete update of the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan as part of a separate process. The proposed amendment would update any of the discussions or strategies related to that overarching document and incorporate those into the comprehensive plan so that it's consistent.
And I would add to that that one of the reasons that we're looking at this now is because the state requires the update of the parks and park facility plans every 6 years, so it's on an off cycle from our normal comprehensive plan cycle, and that's related to state funding.
Any other comments or discussion?
To staff, just in reference to attachment A, just the amount of red fonted text makes it feel like it's almost a complete redo. Is that just languaging that comes from RCWs or Growth Management Act or
which
under our tab 6 attachment A, just the amount of strikeout and the amount of rewritten, just standard procedure because of languaging changes elsewhere?
Right. Yeah, it's just updating language that was in the comprehensive plan prior to address any changes that were conducted as part of that update by the Parks Department.
Got it.
Yeah. Comments, questions, motions.
Are you sure? Do you want to take a turn? Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the recommendation of staff for the parks, recreation, and open space plan update as presented.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor? Clerk, that is 5. That's unanimous. The next, let's see, we already did the affordable housing.
Yes, the next would be Tab 8.
Tab 8, the clarifying,
yeah, the clarifying
edits that had
some
changes.
Yeah.
Okay. So Tab 8 is the clarifying edits. We heard at the beginning of this meeting that the number 6 clarifying edit was withdrawn. This is open for, go ahead and if you want to do a overview, and then we can have any questions or comments.
Sure. So this amendment would include both edits to the Kitsap County Comprehensive Plan and Kitsap County Code. In your packet that was emailed out ahead of the meeting, there was an updated attachment A, which did remove the amendment number 6, which, as Jim mentioned earlier in the presentation, that one is being withdrawn by the department at this time. So the new proposal and recommendation is what was included with attachment A. A lot of it, as you walk through that attachment, has to do with clarifying and housekeeping edits, updating links related to, changes that have occurred in where documents are stored online. In addition, there are some updates to the appendixes of the comprehensive plan to clarify some different terminology that is used throughout the comprehensive plan. And then also it would be updating the same tables within Kitsap County Code so that they are consistent across both of those. Help me if I'm forgetting anything here. Yeah, a lot of it has to do with streamlining and navigation for the users. And ensuring that they're directed in the appropriate location for the information that they're seeking. And we did not receive any public comment. Did receive public comment, which is why the department is recommending changes or amendments to the proposal. And those are located within your comment matrix starting on page 8.
And so as I understand it, Liz, the change here primarily is addressing the issue raised by Mr. Harless in his comment. Is
that correct? Is correct, okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any questions or discussion on what has been sort of an amended proposal by staff? Yes.
I just want to thank the staff for making those changes because it's going to be so much easier to get through that document and much, much better for the public. And it's, there's a ton of things in there that I've wanted to see literally moved out of there and out of the way. It was cumbersome before. So good work.
Thank you for your comment, and you're welcome. You may not believe this, but we really want the code and the comp plan to be easy to navigate.
Well, since you're so happy.
You're right.
It'd be my pleasure. Motion to approve the clarifying edits as recommended by staff.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. We've had any discussion on the issue? We've already asked questions. So, no further comments or discussion. All those in favor? That's 5 out of 5.
very warm. Just let me know if anybody needs a break. Richardson, I was making sure we were skipping the ones we needed to skip. So the next one is number 9, identified as CPA 18-00369, the Richardson.
Correct, yes. So this proposed amendment is a site-specific request. It is to change the land use designation from urban low-density residential to urban, and the zoning, which is urban restricted, to land use designation of urban high-intensity commercial and a zoning of commercial. If you remember back to our presentation, this particular amendment is the result of a boundary line adjustment that was initiated by the property owner. And the department is recommending approval of this proposed amendment. We did receive a public comment regarding this one. And it was just an appreciation of the proposed amendment.
So for the commission, that's on the very bottom of page 8 for the matrix.
Okay. Liz, one of the concerns I think we expressed earlier is the requirement for TDU. And
transfer development rights.
Right, transfer development rights. And not much of a market or availability of those rights presently. As I recall, this recommendation was they must obtain those transfer development rights within 3 years, but we had suggested or had at some point discussed maybe that was unrealistic in terms of having a market available and that there ought to be a little longer time for them to obtain those rights.
Thank you. For the record, Darren Gurney, Kitsap County Department of Community Development. And yes, remember the discussion about transfer development rights. The time frame was a 5-year time frame in anticipation of the 2024 comp plan. We would then be looking at possibilities of changing land uses without this site-specific amendment. The TDR program has an operational permit, and we have one person who is actually about to go through that permit process to have ascending site for us. We also have a couple of other individuals in additional locations throughout the county that have expressed interest as well. This is a young program. It is very new. We realize that, and with any program, you're going to have growing pains. However, we are confident that this program will be moving forward, and we will be receiving interest from those sending sites in the near future.
But again, didn't we require them to get the development rights within 3 years? Oh, I know we were looking at 5 years. So 5 years is what's in the recommendation. Okay, I couldn't find that.
If you want to, on page 4 of the staff report, it does list the conditions of the proposed amendment. So the recommendation is that the commission approve with conditions described below under item B on page 4.
Yeah, so again, that's what I'm looking at. The recommendation was completed by 2021. That's 3 years.
That is 3 years.
That's not 5.
Correct.
And so what we had talked about is given the infancy of the transfer development right program, did it make sense to not set this up for failure or having a single sending site in terms of what the cost of that might be, let the program mature a little bit and give the Richardsons a little longer to obtain that right?
At this point, the reason that this is in here is because the code actually requires it. So we would have to make a separate change in the code to create an exception for this proposal.
It requires 3 years specifically? Is that what
it, it requires an, the, it requires a transfer of development rights for an upzone. And this would be considered an upzone.
I understand. So where in the code does it require a transfer development right within 3 years? I understand the need for the transfer development right. I understand that, but I don't see where it requires it within 3 years.
The 3-year period is not in code.
Right.
The requirement to secure transfer development rights is in code.
But there'd be no problem with this commission recommending an amendment to the staff recommendation that instead of the TDR in June 30th of 2021, a TDR be obtained by June 30, 2024, if we're looking at the program then.
That would not be a problem.
Okay.
The code, just to be clear, code requires a transfer of development rights. It does not state a time period. The department wanted to put a time period on it, so it wasn't required before the legislative action takes place, because we know it's a fledgling program and we don't have a bank of sending sites yet.
So do you as staff have any instinctual pushback against Richard's thought process there? If the goal is to get success and therefore traction, does his commentary of extension feel reasonable?
It's something that becomes a housekeeping item for the department, but whether it's 3 years or 5 years, I don't think that there would be any objection.
Okay.
So I would move to amend the initial motion to amend the staff recommendation on the Richardson matter. Condition B1. Be amended to provide obtaining a transfer development unit or a transfer development rights that are the 6 that are required instead of by June 30, 2021 to June 30, 2024.
We have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and the amended motion has been made. It's been moved and seconded. Do we have any discussion?
Just point of clarity, if the goal was 5 years, that would be 2023.
But we had said there would be some changes looked at for the comprehensive plan in 2024. So my thought was to get us to those,
in alignment
those changes.
With. Okay, I'll retract.
So that's for, but your motion is for 2024?
Or that's correct.
All right. Any further discussion on the amended motion to the Richardson specific amendment?
Richard, did you get a second?
I don't think I did.
I would second. You did? Okay.
Sorry.
Didn't catch it. Thanks.
No further discussion? All right. With no further discussion, all in favor of the amended motion, which indicates under item B1 that the transfer of development rights under conditions be set to be completed by June 30, 2024. As an amendment to this motion, all in favor? That's 5. The next one?
I move that we adopt the Richardson portion of the docket as amended, the staff report as amended here this evening.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor? That passes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
At this point, since we have now gone through all of the proposals, with the exception of the two that we deferred to next week.
Yes, I was just looking for that list.
What I would suggest at this point, if it meets with the commission's wishes, that we can take some time and if there are any outstanding questions related to the 4 remaining items, we'd be happy to take those.
So the four remaining items are all the ones that we'll be hearing next time. So just.
That's correct.
Again, that's the George's Corner, the Hanley property, Ulin Tree Farm, and Culbertson.
That's correct.
And can, just for the record here, I know it was discussed a little bit, but for the record, what is the intent of the department as far as the additional items that have been set over? What will the department be doing between tonight and the next night that we meet to deliberate?
George's Corner, we have a request from one of the commissioners for more information, and we are still working on fulfilling that request. The Hanley property, that the reason that we are recommending putting that over is so that way we can have Scott Diener with the department here in the room. On the Yulin Tree Farm in Culbertson, those we had more public comment. And Liz, do you want to comment on what happened? What's going on with those?
Sure. So since the public hearing on the 31st, staff has gone out and met with some of the property owners adjacent to the subject site to hear a little bit further of their concerns related to the proposed amendment. We also attended a recent blast at the quarry and have requested some additional information from the applicant related to the public comment. There was also quite a bit of discussion from the Planning Commission at the hearing on the 31st regarding the criteria for classifying lands of mineral resources. So what we'd like to do is prepare some additional information for the Commission that we would be sending out ahead of that, your deliberations, that hopefully addresses some of the questions that were brought to us by the Commission and then also address some of the public comment that we've been receiving. So that's kind of why we were hoping to wait on those. And I know I'm not available on the course, so I think that's why we were recommending waiting until the 18th to have deliberations on those ones.
Madam Chair, we had an opportunity to ask questions. On the other hand, there's only five of us here, and the other questions or the other issues may have more questions. It might be good for a broader set of the commission to hear the answer to those questions, be able to ask questions.
I agree fully. So let's see. I think we just need to formally continue the deliberations until our next meeting on the remaining four items. Will they be continued over the next two meetings? There's so much paperwork up here, I keep misplacing the agenda amongst the comments.
Staff apologizes to the commission for creating paper.
Thank you. Let's see. I think it shows administrative update. Anything else besides what we just heard?
No, I do have one item that I wanted to bring the commission, make that you aware of, and you'll be hearing more about this in the future. You know, the Board of County Commissioners has always been really deliberate about trying to collect and encourages all the departments to collect and analyze and then present public comment received both at the hearings and then also in written format. For those of you that have been on the Planning Commission for some time and have gone through a series of legislative actions, whether it was a major one like a critical area update or it was a smaller one like a very specific maximum lot size revision to the code, the department has always tried to consolidate the public comment in a way that not only is accessible to the commission or the end user, whether it's the planning commissioners or the Board of County Commissioners, but is also, I think, reflective of people who have chosen to engage in that issue. And so right now, you've probably seen that in some of those bigger efforts, legislative actions that we're contemplating, we'll take a format which is we receive all the public comments, say it's a written letter or an email that's submitted to the department. We'll parse out each issue that is raised by that commenter. It could be on a variety of issues, but it's all contained in a single letter. We go through all of the public comment and kind of parse those different themes out. We summarize them in a document, and then we provide a response to that summary of the issues that are raised by a number of commenters on a particular issue. And then there's usually an accompanying document that basically identifies each of those individuals and what were all the comments And there's usually kind of a crosswalking exercise that has to be done for people to really find out what, you know, where their comments were addressed and how they're being presented and considered by whatever body is taking a look at that. In today's deliberations, we're using a different format where we really tried to break this out into individual commenters. And so we tried to draw out each one of their comments and provide a written response to each of them individually. It tends to probably be more reflective for people who are commenting to see how the department is recommending to the commission or the planning commission how to consider those comments and what the department's recommendation is. But you also have 25 pages of comments when we do it individually like that. So the department went to the Board of County Commissioners and indicated that we're interested in looking at other formats that might be used to really represent public comment and some of the projects, or maybe it's a variety, not unlike our interest in kind of standardizing staff reports moving forward. We're also interested in looking at alternative formats for representing public comment on issues. We asked for the board's thoughts on those kinds of things. I would extend that same information or same offer to the Planning Commission, with the idea that we want to be able to give you information that you can process in an efficient way, but we also want to be able to allow the public who are engaging the ability to kind of really track how their comment is being handled. So there'll be more to come on this, but I just wanted to give you that information so that let you know that the department, recognizing we're resource limited, we want to be able to do this efficiently, but we also want to give adequate attention to the people who are engaging in our processes. So, any questions on that? And
thank you for preparing the matrix.
Yeah,
that's helpful.
Yeah, it tends to be an all hands effort when these big projects come in, and we receive a lot of public comment, and we want to make sure that you know, particularly the decision makers are getting this in a way that helps them to process it most effectively.
Is there any model that, you know, is an upgrade to what you do? I mean, it's working pretty well from our standpoint, but we didn't do the work to get it there. We just get to read it and feel like we can follow it.
Sure.
Is, you know, is
we don't
Seattle
have a
do it right, or
does, pardon me, what was the last part?
Seattle do it correctly, or
that's
Portland,
part that'll
or
be part of our process. Okay. We'll probably look at other jurisdictions. This is an issue that we would likely bring before the department advisory group. We would probably go out to stakeholders, particularly those who have expressed concerns that, hey, I provided you this comment, but I don't see how you responded to it. I think there's also frustration, and the board has brought this up as a point for all departments as well, that when we get into some of these legislative processes, oftentimes we go public with it when there's a proposal, and it's usually several iterations into the internal working of the department as we're crafting some of these proposals to move forward. And so I think some folks, when they provide comment, and we respond that no changes are recommended at this point by the department, that can be frustrating for people. They don't realize that we maybe have already considered those amendments, and we can do better at probably elaborating on why we're not recommending changes based on the comment that they provided. But one of the things the board is encouraging us to do is to look at our processes for developing these proposals and actually go out to the community at a much earlier date, at that really formative stage, to try and solicit their comment and input there so that maybe they can see those comments reflected in the draft that comes before the Planning Commission, rather than after we've, you know, processed it and baked it and done those kinds of things. Then when they come in and they learn about something 2 weeks before it comes before you all and they make a comment, they don't know that the department may have been working on something for 6 months, and it's kind of, we've gone through this process. So it's kind of a broader look at how the department goes about pulling together these processes and effectively engages with the community as we do so.
Specific to your question, I don't know that one is necessarily an upgrade over another or better than another. There are about a half a dozen different ways of approaching it that I've seen over the years. Some of them are more time efficient than others. But sometimes when time efficiency is achieved at the cost of a lack of transparency sometimes. Sure. So we're trying to find a sweet spot there. We want to find that happy medium where we're actually getting people the answers that they need but also trying to do it as efficiently as we can for the department to keep our, you know, our time demands down as well.
Right. Yeah, better is a pretty obligatory word. I really just meant to say, are there models that you're looking at?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yes, is there anything else for the good of the order? I guess I just so we kind of have a head count, is everybody who's present here, do you anticipate being available on September 4th so we at least know that we have five? Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. And then hopefully maybe if you can reach out prior to that next meeting so people can individually respond if they're not going to be there, we'll have a good idea. As long as we have five here, we can make progress. All right, with nothing else for the good of the order, we're going to go ahead and adjourn.